witnessed, and also this peace, simply peace, as we have called it. Because they are connected. Because we want to experience peace in our lives. And yet the Bible tells us that the reality is that without God in our life, we are without hope. And that is because of what Christ has done in making a way. And I'm just going to show a brief picture this morning. Skip through that part of it. In Romans chapter 6 that was read for us earlier, in a translation called The Message, Eugene Peterson picks up on the imagery, Old Testament imagery, and saying, life before Christ was like living in the old country. Now, my grandparents came from the old country in the 1920s, and the old country for them was in communist Russia. Life had gone from being very, very good to very, very bad. To the point where both religious persecution and from famine and war, they packed up all that they could in suitcases and they were able to get onto a train. And now the story behind this picture is that we had kind of a small ritual that we did at every family gathering. And at that family gathering, before a meal, we would sing a song. Just like some people see a baptism, and it's kind of a ritual, and maybe you grow up seeing it as a kid, or maybe it's brand new to you. But growing up in the family gathering, right before mealtime, we would, instead of praying, usually, well, we would actually do both. My grandfather would pray, but we would also sing this song, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Some of you know that song. And I grew up thinking, okay, that's a song we sing kind of as grace, you know, before we're going to eat a meal. And then about a year before my grandmother died, she was already about 91 years old. We were visiting, and somehow we got onto the story about being in Russia and this reason behind why we sang this song. Because when they crossed over from the life of, it was really like crossing over from death into life, when they crossed the border from Russia into Latvia, one side represented oppression, and the other side represented freedom. And she said, oh, you know what we did when we crossed over the border? She said, we sang the song, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And suddenly, that song that we had sung, I discovered the whole backstory behind it. And I realized this is a very significant song. And for me, baptism, growing up in baptism and seeing baptisms, it's, well, that's what happens when somebody, you know, decides to follow Jesus, and it is. And when somebody decides that they're also going to not only follow Jesus, but the other company of Jesus followers, and it is. But it is also every bit as much a crossing over from death, a sentence that hung over us because we had not honored God, we had turned our backs on God. And yet God sent Jesus to be the peace child, the one who would make peace and give us a way of peace so that we could cross over from death into life. And that is what baptism is really about. And this morning we also lit the candle of peace. The prophet Isaiah, as was read, foretold of a day when a child would be born who one of his royal titles would be the Prince of Peace. But perhaps you're wondering what kind of peace Jesus is able to provide. After all, peace seems so elusive whether we look for it at the political and public level or in the personal and private sphere. American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow knew the elusiveness of peace, and he spoke about it in his poem, Christmas Bells, which was later put to music under the title, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. You see, in 1861, 2 years before writing this poem, Longfellow's personal peace was shattered when his second wife of 18 years was killed in a fire. Then, early, 2 years later, in 1863, during the American Civil War, Longfellow's oldest son, Charles, joined the war effort as a soldier without telling his father, because his father, he knew, was opposed to that. And so Henry only found out when his son had already gone off and was left a note informing him of what Charles had done. His son Charles was soon appointed a lieutenant in the army, but by November of that year, he was severely wounded in battle. Charles eventually recovered, but his time as a soldier was over. And it was on Christmas Day of that same year that Longfellow wrote his poem, sharing how he felt as he heard the Christmas bells ring out their song of peace on earth. And in despair, he said, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But Longfellow's poem did not end on such a hopeless note, for he had discovered a peace from God more resilient than all the onslaughts against it, as we have heard this morning. His song ends with this: Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. The peace that we seek and the one that we need is one that is resilient and reliable enough to work in and through all the storms of life. In the Gospels, it's interesting. I thought of three kind of windows into the life of Jesus in the Gospels. One of those windows is Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, it describes Jesus being in a busy and hectic schedule and then going out in the quiet time in early morning, getting away in the midst of it to listen and to his Father and to be with his Father. A moment of peace in the midst of a hectic schedule, finding peace with God. There's another story in the Gospels about a time when there was a tremendous storm taking place, and Jesus and his disciples were in a boat. And the Jesus' followers, his disciples, were experienced fishermen, and they thought they were going to drown in the storm, and they discover that Jesus is asleep in the boat in the middle of a storm. An image of peace while everybody else is fearing for their lives. And then their third one is Jesus near the end of his life. He is facing death, and all of his followers around him are fleeing in panic, and Jesus faces it resolutely. He has found peace with God to walk the most difficult path in his life. You see, Jesus, I think, was called the Prince of Peace because he was able to find peace in the midst of storms, all kinds of storms. And even more importantly, he was the Prince of Peace in a second sense, because he was and is the prince at helping others find and experience the same deep, resilient, and reliable peace that he had and has. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that is, since we have entrusted ourselves to God, we have admitted that we have been in rebellion against him, and we have asked him for forgiveness, and he has granted us this grace of forgiveness. Since we have been justified through faith, it says the result is we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our pre-Christian status was that we were maybe indifferent. Some experienced a cold war with God. Some were openly hostile. But now, in Christ and our surrender to him, we have been reconciled with God through the sacrifice of our substitute and our Savior. The Bible tells us that the ultimate reason for our lack of peace in our public and private lives is that we have cut ourselves off from the source of peace, of God himself. You see, when God created the world, he created everything to be in harmony. For us to be in harmony with him, for us to be in harmony with one another, for us to be in harmony with creation. But the first human beings thought they knew better. And they tried to make life revolve around themselves. I think of it, my one son, he plays as an orchestra. You know, and an orchestra only makes beautiful music when they all follow the conductor. And sometimes somebody in the orchestra thinks, oh, the conductor isn't quite doing it right, and everybody should be following me. And then chaos soon follows. And that's basically the story of what happened. As long as God is the conductor, he knows how everything fits and works together well. And when we try to make life go to our beat and revolve around us, chaos ensues. And what we needed was what Christ provided, is this peace with God, a peace that Paul describes in his letter to the Philippians. He says it this way. He says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lynn and Prosper, what you shared about was exactly that kind of peace. It doesn't mean that we don't experience great difficulty and that we don't have fear and aren't stressed out at times, but we find that there is a peace that is deeper and more substantial and reliable than all of that, a peace with God. Our closing song is an opportunity to sing what Henry Longfellow, both the wrestling that he experienced, but also the peace that he found that was deeper and more lasting than any of the adversity that he experienced or that we can go through. And I invite you, during the closing song perhaps, to open your heart and mind to the Prince of Peace. Ask him to bring you that peace into your life. Make peace with God and find the peace that he offers to us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we have seen and witnessed this morning and heard testimony to how you are the Prince of Peace in the lives of these young people that have taken the step and commitment to follow you, to publicly identify with you and say, yes, I am part of the Jesus team. I am a follower of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that what you give, the gift that you give us, is peace with you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity not only to hear about it, but also to experience. And Lord, I pray that we would experience the peace that only you can give. Amen.